back to the back with Miss Joy, and for the rest of your time. Hey, I really feel like I just kept sensing it. It's so such a unique evening for us here that there is something significant that God wants to do, and I prayed it at the beginning of our service tonight. But I really believe that, and that there is a word that God wants to speak to you tonight. Maybe he's already beginning to do that just as we've been worshiping him, fixing our eyes on who he is, that there is something he's already beginning to speak or make known to you. But as we open up his word, I just want us to be receptive, and hopefully that's how we always enter in to a time, to a church service or whatever it is that we're wanting to receive from God. It's the posture that we want to put ourselves in, because God is a giving God. He is a generous and giving God. And so I want us to turn to Genesis 12 if you have your Bible. And you can turn there with me. It's where we're going to begin. And I want you to imagine this. So just imagine that you get a phone call from a very well-known director, producer of movies, and they ask you to play a significant role in this epic film that's coming up. And so picture, you're in shock. Why did they call me? How did you find me? I can't act. But they assure you that they'll prepare you for it, and they'll get you a personal trainer so you can begin to look like you need to look like, all that kind of stuff. And then you're playing alongside all of these famous people that, you know, it's like it's Ocean's 15 or 16, whatever they're on now, you know, and you're right in there with Brad and George and the crew, you know, whoever all that crew is, and you're right in there, except this is this epic tale, and there's something about movies that actually, especially some of these epic dramas of kingdoms of good versus evil, that we're just drawn in to the story. We were made for that. I mean, there's a reason immense industry that it is, because something in our hearts we're drawn in to that story, to these stories, and really often I believe that we go because we want to escape our normal life, what life is in the day to day. I'm like, I just need a checkout for 2.5 hours and get into caught up in this story. And one of the things that always stirs my heart is the story, the unfolding drama of God's great story, of his great redemptive story for humanity. There is absolutely an epic drama going on, and it has gone on throughout the history of the world. And that drama centers around the person of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to set men and women free from an evil captor, from the one who came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so there is this drama that is unfolding, and people's lives hang in the balance. And sometimes we go to movies or what have you, and we get lost in that, and that meets that need for, okay, there's a great story, and we kind of place ourselves in it, we escape into that, but we were made for much more than that. We weren't made to just go see movies and get caught up into something like that for a few hours, and then, you know, we start to get an itch, we want to do it again and next month, and so what else is coming? That's not what we were made for. The reason that we desire and love to go to and see those types of shows and is because we were created to be a part of a great story. And God has invited us to be key players in that story. It's not just for some kind of spiritual giant that we read about, or even that we read about in Scripture. But we're told in the book of Romans that the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. And so that we have life because of that. And so what tonight, I believe, is, and Adam's staying up here and just playing, because we're going to move back into worship. And so I want us to stay in this place of just, God, I want to be caught up into your story, into the story of I have a role to play in worshiping you, in seeing this great drama unfold. And we see it from the very beginning in Genesis 12, the call of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. He is the one that God initiated with historically to be the father of the people of God that would follow him. And so we read in Genesis 12:1 that Abraham left his home and trusted God and followed him, going to a land that God would show him, leaving his own country, leaving his own family. And then we pick up in verse 2, and this is the promise that God gives him. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. From the very beginning, what we see in the heart of God is to bless people. He draws us in and says, I want to bless you. I want to be a father to you, a covering to you. I want to be a protector and a provider. If people come against you, I will come against them, because you are mine and I am yours. And then he goes into the great mission statement. One of the great mission statements of the Bible is what he says next. It says that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God wants to come into our lives, and he wants to be a blessing. That is his heart as a father, is I want to come and bless. And that's why he calls out sin. That's why we see the justice side of God, which is absolutely a part of God's character, because he knows sin will destroy. Sin has consequences, because he pulls us back in as a loving father. He disciplines, he says, those that he loves. And so he pulls us in, he wants to bless us, and the intention all along is for you, for your heart to be his, and then as you are blessed, that all the peoples of the earth are blessed through you. That was his intention. When he first initiated and pursued man, it was through Abraham, and this is what he tells him. Yes, I'm going to bless you, but as a result, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples, that has always been on God's heart. People that are very real, that those that have gone before us, those that will come after us, the hearts of people. And so I want you to take that into a narrow view tonight and say that's me. If there is something in my life that God is wanting to come into and bless and draw into his story, tonight is an invitation. It is the invitation of God to jump into his story. And as we are blessed, we get to be a blessing. And it is not that you or I are better than anyone else. It is that we have been blessed by God. That he has been so good. That he has been so loving. That he has given us such hope. That he has shown such mercy and grace that it's unthinkable. And we must go and bless others with what we have received from God, that we are compelled to. How could we not? Because of how much we have received. And so we get God's heart in that way. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 7. So we're going from the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, to the very last book of the Bible. In Revelation 7, there's this description of what John, who was an apostle, walked with Jesus. He had this vision, and he describes some of the things that he saw in heaven. And this is one of the things that he describes in Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. He says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, in front of Jesus. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so what we have here is this beautiful picture of a throng of people worshiping God. They are declaring that salvation belongs to our God. He has saved us from sin and from death. And so they are worshiping God. And as it describes the people that are encircling the throne of God, it describes them as people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And that word, every nation, as we see that, it's every ethnos, every ethnicity, every people group. Every language that has been spoken underneath heaven, every language that's been spoken on this earth, every different color of skin, every people that has ever identified with a certain group, they will be standing before the throne of God. Kind of it is the fulfillment of Genesis 12 that all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, they will be blessed. They will be standing. They will be represented before the throne of heaven. And here's the unfolding drama, that has not yet occurred. In fact, as people have studied this and done research, there are still right around 7,000 unreached people groups in the world, unreached nations, ethnic groups that have never heard the gospel, have no viable witness. There is no one among that people that would be represented before the throne of God. They've never heard. They have never had the opportunity to know the love of a Father that loves unconditionally. And so we get called, we have the opportunity to get caught up in this story. And when I think about that, and sometimes it's hard to do, it's hard to, okay, what does that look like in the midst of my everyday normal life? How am I to get caught up in this unfolding drama? And I have a couple of suggestions. So world mandate, and we need to be praying for our, we have the whole crew is driving back right now, but what, it's a missions conference, and there were people, some of the people that shared were people that have lived their life in other nations, among people that don't know Jesus, have never heard. But one of the things that this conference and who we are as a church is really about is absolutely that we want to be about going to those that haven't heard. And for some people, that will be a lifelong call to go, to move, to pick up everything and go. For others, and that will be for those that God calls. That is not what we are all called to. For a greater number of people, and I believe it's good for everyone to do it at least once, is to get into the nation so you can get God's heart for the poorest of the earth, for those that are unlike you, for those that have not heard about the Lord. There's something that God begins to do in you when you get out among people in that way. Getting a more godly worldview. And all of us are called to live missionally. That we realize that I don't have to wait and see and go to some missions conference and see if maybe one day I can go on a mission trip or something. But there is a part that I play right where I am. There is a part that I play in my everyday. I remember when I was in college, I had God just convicted me of this thought, and I was thinking about me walking into one of my classrooms and coming and sitting by this guy. And bear with me here, because I know God knows all things. It's not like he doesn't know. But this is how it unfolded in my mind, was that I stepped into this class, and there's this guy who I didn't talk to, didn't bother to meet. I just kind of going through my day in my own little world. But that first day when I came and I'm sitting by this guy, that God is like, yes, Travis is sitting by Johnny. And I'm so, so glad, because I have been pursuing I've been pursuing this man. I've been pursuing Johnny since the day he was born, and he's been through so much hurt and pain and rejection. His family is a mess. He feels unloved. He feels unwanted. And now Travis, who knows me, who has my love, who has the hope of the world living inside of him, he's sitting next to him. This is perfect. Again, so not like he didn't know it, but this is perfect. And here I am, just I'm not caught up in the great story of God. That there is hurt and pain in the world, and that God is coming to set people free. That he has come to give life and life to the full. There was a guy at the conference named Clint Miller, and yeah, just a great guy. Our training school got to spend a month with him in the Middle East this past summer. And he is one of those guys who is just infectious in his personality. He laughs, and then everybody else laughs because it's just one of those laughs that just makes you laugh. And he is so genuine. He is so bubbly. He just gets really. He's very excitable. He starts hopping around, like just thinking about things. He starts hopping around, getting really excited, and he'll go and just talk to anyone and just start telling them about the love of Jesus. And so he was sharing a couple stories that he had, and I feel like it has a direct impact on us. And this is what I want to leave you with, and then we're gonna just worship for a few more minutes. He told a story about when he was in Lebanon. He served in Lebanon. He was in Lebanon for 9 years, and him and his family. And he started noticing when he was traveling from a couple different cities that he was working in, these big tents set out in the desert along the roadsides, kind of off in the distance from the road. And he started asking questions like, what are those? Who lives out there? And he began to hear stories about a couple of different people groups, Bedouins and gypsies that lived out in these tents. And they were uneducated. In fact, they were kind of the untouchables, if you will, of South Lebanon. And they were not allowed any health services in the country. They were not allowed to come to any schools. There were many of the women, if the families were in need of money, would be sold and often trafficked into the sex trafficking industry. Kids would be out on the streets begging, and he began to learn about this. And it was just him and his family and a couple of others there on their team. They weren't an NGO. They didn't have a lot of training in social transformation. But what he did is like, well, why don't we just go talk to him? He's like, can we go talk to him? He's with one of the a Lebanese guy that he had led to the Lord, and he was, and so they just drove out to the tent, and they were like, hey, how's it going? And they started telling them stories about Jesus. They were welcomed into their homes, these little tents. They started telling them stories about Jesus, and they started hearing their stories. And now they have they didn't know what they were doing, but now they have a school where 35 of these children have been educated. There is not one mother or father that knows how to read or write. They've never received education. Now they have these 35 kids, and they've got a few Lebanese believers that they've led to the Lord are volunteering to teach these kids, and they're teaching some of the women trade. They've got them learning how to make soap and jewelry so that they don't get sent off. They're just like, how can we go and love? How can we go and share Jesus? And they're believing for a church to rise up in this place, because many of these children have given their lives to Jesus. And so... He just said, hey, what about that tent? What is that tent? There's another story he told about he had this old Mitsubishi van, and they don't even have them here. And he moved down to the southern part of Lebanon, and he started getting waved at by a lot of people, and he was like, wow, this is interesting. I kind of like it. He's just like waving at people. A few days into living in this small rural town, he was just like, he just couldn't figure out why everybody was waving to him. Finally, he realized that all of the taxi drivers drive this same little van that he drives. They're not official taxis. They're just like these guys on the side. They'll pick people up in their van to make a little extra money. And he's like, oh. And so he's like, oh, we could do that. Like, so they go and there's somebody to wave at him. He'll take one of his friends and they'll pull over and say, where are you going? And they'll be like, well, I need to go down here to the city. Oh, that's where we're going. Come on in. And they'll just spend all day just driving people from town to town and sharing with them about Jesus. Well, Lebanon is very anti-Israel. There's a lot of anger there, hatred, and so there was an outbreak of throwing people into jail that had any kind of loyalty towards Israel. And so and his friend was like, I don't think we should pick people up today. I think we just need to lay low for a little bit because this is a very serious deal. And so there, he was like, yeah, you're probably right. We'll just kind of lay low. And so they're driving the Mitsubishi van and they pass a guy on the side of the road. And they keep going. They're like, ugh. And then they both look at each other. And first, his friend says, "I think we should pick him up." And Clint looks at back and is like, "I do too." And so they do a U-turn and they pick this guy up. And he ends up, and they take him to another little village not too far away. And he was like, "Actually, it was where we were headed that day." And so they took him there, and they prayed for him. And he said, this is a big, strong guy. And he said they prayed for him. And he was like, he just started grinning from ear to ear, like, oh, wow. Because they were telling about Jesus. He wasn't a believer. And, he was a Muslim. But he started grinning from ear to ear. And he was like, what's going on? He's like, I feel so good. I feel like there's butterflies flying around inside me or something like that. And he was like, that's the Holy Spirit. That is God pursuing you. He loves you. And so they started talking with him and they said, we're going to come back and visit you. Well, they come back in a couple of weeks and he was a mechanic and they came to his shop. And he had injured both of his arms. He had fallen into the little pit. You know that they don't raise them up. They have the little pits that the cars drive over. He had stumbled into one, tried to catch himself, and had broken one shoulder and torn the tendons of the other shoulder. And so he couldn't move past like right here with his arms. And they're like, well, can we pray for you? And Clint is funny. He talked about he's like, I was actually in a point with God where I was really frustrated that God wasn't answering prayers for healing. I was like, God, why not? And anyway, they prayed that day, and this man was healed. And they said he began to move his arms. And at first, actually, he wasn't. Nothing was happening, but he was real happy. And he's like, oh, well, thank you. And he said, inshallah, if God wills, I'll be healed. And Clint was like, no, he wants to heal you today. He wants to show you that he loves you. And this guy gets healed. So he couldn't move past right here. Was in a lot of pain. And he gets healed, and he is like, he starts screaming. He starts just jumping up and down, screaming. And then he hits the ground, and he starts doing push-ups on the ground. And he just and then everybody's like, what's going on? Then he said he grabbed a car door and starts lifting the car door over and over again. And he puts it down and grabs a chair. And he said for over 5 minutes, he was doing this with both hands over his head with this chair. And Clint's like talking to him. He's like, yes, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. He healed me. And what he found out was that this mechanic shop was like the hangout. There was always people hanging out there watching the guys do. It was just the hangout of the little village. And so this guy gives his heart to Jesus. His dad comes out and is like, what happened? His dad ends up giving his heart to Jesus because they turned around. And then there's one other story about this clerk. And this was at a grocery store, and this is the last one that I'll share. And they had some people down in their town. It was actually some college students on a short-term mission trip. And he said, now don't just go passing out tracts. We want to be a little careful in this particular area. We want to make sure you have a good conversation or what have you. Well, he was like, they didn't obey, and they just gave this guy a tract and left or whatever. But to this grocery store clerk, and they gave him a track and a Jesus video. If you've ever seen or heard of the Jesus video, it just depicts the life of Jesus. And that team had left, and a few weeks later, Clint was in the grocery store, and because they're about the only white people anywhere around, this grocery store clerk comes up and starts speaking to him in Arabic, because these college girls, they didn't speak any Arabic, and he didn't speak any English, and he was like, do you know these two girls, you know, and he was like, well, yeah, actually, I do, and he was like, they gave us this video, and I took it home, and me and my brother watched this video, and we began weeping. And we decided to follow Jesus. And so we gave our lives to Jesus, and we went back. They were Iraqi refugees, and they had gone back to their home in Iraq and had led over a dozen family members to the Lord, and they were meeting together. And so he began telling these stories of what God was doing. And so here, as I was hearing these stories, those are fun stories. And those are over, you know, nine. God does incredible things. That's who God is. That's what he loves to do. But here is the practical for us as the invitation into the great story of God. The invitation is, where is the tent? You know, where is the tent that's off in the side road? Like, who are those people? Or who is that guy that I always see? Or who is the person that I probably shouldn't be talking to, who's probably not smart or whatever, but I actually do take the time to do the U-turn and pick up the guy on the side of the road. And I'm not talking about literally, I'm just talking about who is the guy right there on your way that you've never bothered to talk to. It's just been too awkward, too hard. But that guy that has a story, that God has a story that he wants to unfold in his life. Who is the grocery store shelf stalker, you know, that needs to hear about the love of Jesus, that is just waiting for it, that you don't even have to speak their language. They go home and watch this video, and they fall on their face and want Jesus. And that is the invitation of God. And in that, there is absolutely a laying down of our lives at times where it's just like, that's hard. I don't want to stop. I've got other things I'm doing, or that could be awkward, or what? I'm not an NGO. I don't know what to do, but we can love. And I really believe that there is a story that God wants to take us into, a life beyond our life. A life beyond what we know to be life. But that there is so much more that God would invite us into and say, open your eyes to see what is before you and how I want to pour my spirit out on you so that you can receive, but also on you so that others will be blessed by the goodness of God. So Lord, we just want tonight, we want to say yes. And just in the simplicity of that notion, it's what we want. We just want to say yes. We don't want to put our fingers in our ears and say, la, 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 we can't hear you, God, because we're scared that you're going to ask us to stop and love somebody that's going to be really uncomfortable. And I admit, I've been there. I have done that. But Lord, instead, we just want to say yes to you, because we believe that you are good, because we believe that you are the hope of the world, because we believe that you have initiated with us and said, I want to bless you. And through you, I want to bless all the peoples on the face of the earth. So Lord, here we are. We offer ourselves to you. And we say, thank you, God, that you give us life. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just stand up together. Let's stand up together, and we are going to just respond, first of all, by just saying, God, just focusing on him. We're just going to focus on him, declare who he is. Because if we're before we ever enter into this story, we've got to be convinced that he is worthy. That he is worth it. That we're not going to go out of our way to share with someone if